Mrs. Crawford wants case to be tried soon. The Atlanta Journal, Thursday, the 6th of November, 1913, page 1, column 5. Her attorney asks for special solicitor to bring case B for next grand jury. Anxious to clear the cloud from her, was charged by a justice court warrant 7 months ago with the murder of her husband, the late Joshua B. Crawford. In 1909, Friday took steps to force a trial of her case. Attorney Burton Smith, representing Mrs. Crawford, appeared before Judge W.D. Ellis and asked what a special solicitor general be named to bring the Crawford case before the grand jury. Judge Ellis declined to act, as Judge Ben H. Hill is now exercising complete jurisdiction over criminal matters. But Judge Hill has promised to name a solicitor for the case during the present week. Because of the disqualification of solicitor Hugh M. Dorsey, whose firm has been engaged in part of the multiplex Crawford estate civil litigation, the criminal matter has not yet reached even the grand jury. It is expected, however, that Judge Hill's appointee will make an effort to get the case up next week. The case against Mrs. Crawford will be pressed by attorney J.S. James, who represents litigants who are seeking to wrest from the widow the $250,000 estate left by the husband and for which they claim she poisoned him. A justice court warrant has also been drawn against Frederick Lum, a New York barber, who, it is alleged, conspired with Mrs. Crawford to bring about the death of her aged husband, but Lum has never been arrested. Should he be arrested, he could not be brought here from New York until after a grand jury indictment had been returned. Page 2, Column 1, Revers Crawford Jackson is fully exonerated. Court throws out case against head of juvenile home friends pay tribute. Complete exoneration has resulted in the case of Reverend Crawford Jackson, head of the Juvenile Protective Association, who was the subject of sensational charges made some time ago by a young girl in his employ. While the charges resulted in Mr. Jackson's indictment by the grand jury at that time, the case has since been nolle prost. Solicitor Hugh M. Dorsey went before Judge Benjamin H. Hill of the criminal branch of the Superior Court, stated that he had carefully investigated, had found them without any foundation whatsoever, and asked that the cast be dropped, to which Judge Hill readily agreed. In this connection, it is interesting to note the loyalty of Mr. Jackson's friends while he was laboring under the unjust charges. Not only did the officers of the Juvenile Protective Association come forward with voluntary testimonials to his good character, but many friends and acquaintances made it a point to testify to the splendid reputation of the accused and to the nobility of the work which he had been doing. Judge him by his works. Chief of these testimonials is one by General Clifford L. Anderson, in which he says that Mr. Jackson should be judged not by false statements, but by the work which he has been doing. Modestly and quietly, says General Anderson, has Reverend Crawford Jackson pursued the even tenor of his way for the last 20 years, devoting all his energies to one purpose, the establishment of laws designed to make good men and women of chanceless boys and girls. General Anderson says that Atlantis Juvenile Court is due largely to the efforts of Mr. Jackson, that his help has been statewide in scope, and that having been associated personally with Mr. Jackson, he was convinced that the charges against him were groundless. The work of the Juvenile Protective Association, as indicated in an outline, has indeed been a great one. It is shown that this organization is responsible for Atlantis Juvenile Court, for the state reformatory for boys, and for other reformatories not only in Georgia, but throughout the South. In all his work, the testimonials indicate that Mr. Jackson has been the leading and most courageous spirit. His friends rejoice in his vindication, even as they stood by him when he was under fire. These are some of the testimonials which came to Mr. Jackson before his vindication. Tributes from friends. I congratulate you on your conquest over your enemies. Asterisk, 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 I sincerely hope there will be no more put-up jobs on you. Signed. Mrs. A.F. Taylor, Atlanta, good dear friend and brother, I assure you, you have my deepest sympathy and confidence. In the end, you will win. Asterisk. May God help and sustain you in this hour of persecution. Your friend and brother, signed. J. Moss, Tignall Gay. God bless you, Brother Jackson. I have been thinking about you. They tried to get it on you, but they could not do it. Reverend C.A. Ridley's spontaneous statement in the Central Baptist Church before a large congregation on October 26th on recognizing Mr. Jackson in the audience. Judge W.R. Hammond, Atlanta, gay. Dear sir, we believe him incapable of so gross a crime as he has been accused. His conduct while visiting in our home here at Junior State warrants this faith in him. We believe God gave him this work to do and feel that we should help carry out God's plan by helping to accomplish the work with him. Very sincerely, signed, C.M. Copeland, Supt., Miss. Clifford Hendry, Matron, Miss. Mabel Hoke, Teacher. I have known intimately Mr. Crawford Jackson for many years and have never known anything in his conduct other than that of a Christian gentleman. As founder of the Juvenile Protection Association, which before being chartered and after has led to the creation of several institutions for the welfare of juvenile delinquents, he proved his foresight, his philanthropy, and efficiency, W.R. Hammond. This way of accepting the word of whimsical girls on the merest pretext of imposition has long since gone too far. They seem to invite and work for cheap notoriety and revel in sensation born of the carnal nature. Be assured of my confidence and assistance when you can use me. Sincerely yours, A.A. Deloach. From my frequent association with and intimate knowledge of Mr. Crawford Jackson for a number of years, also the vital and ceaseless work he has done for misdirected children in this city, state, and throughout the Southland, I am prepared to say that he is not only the father of the organized movement for juvenile reform legislation, but that is beyond my comprehension why any person or persons would seek by criticism or insinuations to hinder either the man or the movement. J.L. Anderson, page 9, column 1, Bridge, T to be given by Committee on Education, Mrs. Spencer R. Atkinson's Committee on Education of the Atlanta Women's Club will give a bridge tea at the Hotel Ansley on Thursday afternoon, November 13th, at 3 o'clock. Mrs. Atkinson and her very large and able committee are bending every effort to make this tea an enjoyable affair, as well as a great success financially. The following ladies who compose the committee are requested to meet with Mrs. Atkinson at the Atlanta Woman's Club Friday morning at 11:30 o'clock. Mrs. John K. Otley, Mrs. James Jackson, Mrs. W.B. Price Smith, Mrs. Robert Zahner, Mrs. William Percy, Mrs. Linton Hopkins, Mrs. H.H. Tucker, Mrs. H.H. McCall, Mrs. A.P. Coles, Mrs. D.C. Lyle, Miss Alice Baxter, Mrs. William Everett, Mrs. Lyman Amsden, Mrs. William Spiker, Mrs. Clyde King, Mrs. Lewis Majid, Mrs. H. Pound, Mrs. J.P. Delaney, Mrs. J.P. Delaney, Mrs. McDee, Wilson, Miss Isma Dooley, Mrs. Woods White, Mrs. W.D. Coleman, Miss Saley E. Brown, Mrs. A.R. Colcord, Mrs. M.M. Davies, Mrs. Edgar Dunlap, Mrs. S.W. Foster, Mrs. W.L. Peel, Mrs. Irving Thomas, Mrs. Hugh Willett, Mrs. Samuel Bowman, Mrs. Hugh Dorsey, Mrs. Albert Akers, Mrs. J.R. Watts, Mrs. J.R. Harden, Mrs. H.B. Scott, Mrs. Harvey Jordan, Mrs. Bowling Jones, Mrs. Arthur Powell, Mrs. He Stockbridge, Mrs. H.B. Way, Mrs. V.H. Kriegshaber, Mrs. John M. Slayton, Mrs. Nellie Peters Black, Mrs. Dave Morgan, Mrs. Edward Lyle, Mrs. Percy Adams, Mrs. E.L. Connolly, Mrs. Lewis Golston, Mrs. C.H. Johnson, Mrs. George H. Clayton, Mrs. Charles Godfrey, Mrs. Alonzo Richardson, Mrs. Joe Matheson, Mrs. A.O. Woodward, Mrs. M.C. Russell, Mrs. Claude Neely, Mrs. B.D. Gray, Mrs. Salmon, and Mrs. David Boots. Page 17, column 5. Judge Hill will name probation officer soon plans leniency for first offenders who can show past is not shady. Judge Ben H. Hill of the Criminal Division of the Superior Court, during the present week, will appoint a probation officer for his court under a recent act of the legislature creating the position. At Thursday's session of the court, Jude Hill said it would be his policy to allow first offenders in misdemeanor cases where a good record was proved to go on probation. Four young white men who have entered pleas of guilty in misdemeanor cases are being detained until the appointment of the probation officer. Judge Hill, in his statement, referred to the act creating the position and stated that in each instance, a 12-month sentence will be imposed and suspended only during the good behavior of the probationer. he made it clear that while he will give first offenders, wherever their record justifies it, the chance allowed them by law, they will have to live up to the requirements imposed by the court.